Our scripture reading this morning will be found in the book of Psalm. And chapter 121, if you'd like to read along with me, I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. And it reads like this, beginning at verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
We see David in this psalm. We see that his source of strength comes from God. That's where he looks. But whatever it is, he knows that God is the one who's going to provide that strength for him. It displays great faith on David's part. And it displays how he can be described as a man after God's own heart. Because the first place that he would go to try to find strength, insight, wisdom, comfort, whatever it may be, it was to go to God, in prayer. And he fully believed and was fully persuaded that he would have an answer from God. He may not know what that answer is. He may not know when he would receive the answer or what form. I believe when you look at the Psalms, it becomes clear that David didn't always know. But he did know one thing for sure, and that is that God would answer, and that God would help in the best way, whatever it was that he needed. And he glorified God. But whatever response he then found it to be, whether it was a yes or whether it was a no. And we know that David did receive some no at the time. But either way, David rejoiced and he praised God, no matter what it was. But he always looked to God. That's a great lesson for us. Always look to God. Always be content with what he has to say back to us. I'd like for you to turn with me with those thoughts in mind to the book of Acts. And in chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, we read about some accounts of conversion. It's a chapter that we know quite well because these are where we read about people being preached the gospel. And this is in the region of Samaria to start with. And whenever they preach Jesus, they're baptized. And we also read in Acts chapter 8 that this is a time where it makes a distinction between being baptized in the name of Jesus versus being baptized with or at least being laid on with the Holy Spirit. We see that they're different. And we see that it's distinct. So this is a chapter that we didn't really know quite well because we turn to it to study with people on baptism and how there's a difference between the Holy Spirit coming on someone versus being baptized in the name of Christ. And we read about whenever Simon tried to purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter quite famously said, "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter." We also see that an individual who has believed and been baptized, Simon was a baptized believer, fell from grace. Peter warned him how he was going to die in his sins, essentially. And Peter and he and Simon asked that Jesus prayed, that Peter pray for him. Well, all that being said, just to lay up the context where we're actually going, that's in chapter 8, verse 26, where we have the account of the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, whenever we see this account, we have Philip. Philip is the one who has been preaching already in Samaria. And he's the one who's baptized all those people. He's the one who helped baptize Simon, the sorcerer. after the work has been finished there, and he continues going around the region, the Lord speaks to him in chapter 8, verse 26, and tells him to arise and go toward the south, under the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And so he goes down into the region of desert. And whenever he goes down, behold, there's a man of the Ethiopians. And this Ethiopian is a eunuch, and he's one of the servants under Queen Candace of the Ethiopians. He's someone who's pretty high up, as an official is concerned. And he has given his life over in this service. At least, whether he was forced to as a young man or not, either way, he was a eunuch, whether it was by nature or by the hand of man, whether he had a choice in it or not, we don't know. But either way, this is a lot that this man has now in his life. But he is high up. He's in charge of all of her treasures. He's her highest treasurer. And he has come to Jerusalem for worship. So he's a Jew, as far as his religion is concerned. But he's from the region of Ethiopia. But he's come to Jerusalem to worship, and he's now traveling back. And whenever he's traveling back down along this way is whenever the Lord has told Philip to go and join himself to this chariot, find this man. Because whenever he's coming down, he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading from Isaiah the prophet. And it's then that Philip is told by the Holy Spirit to go and join himself to the chariot. What do we see with the eunuch? We see a man who was faithful. We see a man who was burdened with great responsibility, and no doubt could have argued of why it was not really feasible for him to ever leave Ethiopia, it wasn't like us, if you lived in Waller back in the day, just skipping down to Hempstead or something like that, or going into Houston. I mean, this was quite a trek. And a man with such great responsibilities could easily have persuaded himself to think that it was too important for him to stay in Ethiopia rather than go up to Jerusalem to worship God, which the Jews needed to do, didn't they? Right there, we start to see some of the insight into the heart of this Ethiopian man, of how really what he put first and foremost was God. Not his career, not his queen, not his country, but it was God ultimately that he put first. And we also see something else about this man, because he's going along the way, and what is he spending his time doing? He's spending his time reading the scriptures. And he's spending his time reading scriptures that he doesn't really fully understand or know. I doubt that this is the first time that he's actually read the scroll of Isaiah. It does show that it is a further testimony to the man's means that he has, because he actually possessed a scroll of Isaiah that he's reading. But he's using his time to read along the way. I guess he didn't get car sick. I always get car sick whenever I try to read. I would think a chariot wouldn't be all that different. I don't know, maybe it is. The point is, though, that he's not wasting his time. He has this time, and he's using this time to try to understand more about God. He could have spent his time doing anything else, but he didn't. And he's trying to read something and understand something that he doesn't fully grasp. But what do we see? What do I see whenever I look at the eunuch? I see somebody who's looking to the hills. From whence cometh my help? He's trying to find the answers. He's trying to understand more about God. And so he's reading the scriptures. He doesn't understand all that he's reading. And it's made clear because whenever Philip comes up to him and he hears him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, so he's reading it aloud, or it's being read aloud to him, either way, Philip knows that this is from Isaiah, and he asks him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" So that's a great way to start a conversation. You ever be somewhere and you see somebody reading a Bible? You can start a conversation with them. What are you reading? But what we see here is that whenever the eunuch responds, again, a testimony to his heart, he doesn't respond in a prideful way. Mind your own business, Philip. Of course I understand what I'm reading. Who am I? But I'm a treasurer for the highest treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. No, it displays humility here. He says, no, how can I understand it except somebody teach me? he clearly recognizes that Philip is somebody who understands a little bit about this. And so he asks Philip, why don't you come up and join me? And he's ready to listen. A great lesson in that. Always be humble. I'll say this to you, my friends. Whenever you're studying with somebody, talking with somebody, and it doesn't have to be a formal study, it's just whenever you're talking to somebody about God, you want to keep your cool? Be humble. You ever get those feelings of being riled up? Whenever they're saying something, it's like, I know that's not right, or I gotta thwart the gainsayer and all of that business. Be humble. Stay humble and you'll stay calm. The Ethiopian eunuch is very humble here, and because he was humble, he was ready to hear and he was ready to listen. He didn't shut his ears or his eyes off, but he was ready to listen to what was being stated here. He was trying to find God, and little did he know that God sent him an answer along the way here, and he was going to get much more than he ever bargained for initially. Because as we see here, Philip starts with him here at Isaiah, the very scripture where he was reading, as he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a dumb before his shearer, so he openeth not his mouth. Of all places in Isaiah to be, he's right there. Almost like it's providence of God. Perhaps. But he begins there, and he says that this, he said, in his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his this generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Does he speak of himself, or does he speak of some other man? What's he talking about here? A reasonable question, honestly. We maybe take it for granted because we feel like, well, I know these scriptures. I know what the answer is. But we're reading it, and we didn't understand who Jesus was. But he says, who is it? And Philip then opens his mouth and begins right there. You notice that's the other thing, too, is Philip. Philip doesn't just run in and just start berating the man with, here's the answer. He lets it happen a bit organically, doesn't he? Lets the man talk, shows the man where he's reading, and he lets the man ask questions. And that's one of the biggest ways that we can learn more about God and about Scripture and help people understand Scripture themselves and understand more ourselves is just ask questions. Stop and ask questions. Understand the position one has and understand what they understand. But again, that's part of keeping us humble too, and it keeps everyone calm. But Philip then begins there and he starts preaching unto him Jesus. He shows him what he's talking about. This is talking about the Messiah. Let me tell you about the Messiah. He doesn't spend a great deal of time from what we get, from what Luke says here, just giving a great expose of the book of Isaiah. He uses it as a springboard to go into Christ. You can do that. That's something all of us can do, because we may not understand all things of Scripture and understand us what thou readest, and we're in the book of Revelation or something, or even Isaiah. Well, maybe not, but you understand enough to know how to get to Jesus. And you can definitely share that with people. Because that's the heart of the gospel. You know all about that because you obeyed. Let me tell you about Jesus. I died for our sins. Crucified, died, and was buried. But he rose again for us. Let me tell you about how I came to know it. And what I know it from Scripture. Heard the gospel, I believed the gospel, confessed him, was baptized. It's evident that this is part of what Philip is showing him, whether Philip may be giving his own personal testimony, if you will, whenever he's talking about Jesus and his own conversion, we don't know, but he begins and he starts talking about Jesus to him, though, and it becomes very evident that he has just shared the whole of the gospel with them, because whenever they come to certain water here, what is the eunuch's question? You thirsty, Philip? Why don't we get down and get a drink? No. No, he sees water, and he says, why can't I be baptized? Clearly, Philip has been talking to him about baptism up to this point and salvation. And Philip responds with this wonderful answer. If you believe in me. Simple as that. You believe? Then you can. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's stopping you but you. But here's something, too, I want to mention here about this old idea of baptism, looking to God for help. and God for guidance. Where are they? They're in a desert. Now, was this an oasis that was along the pathway anyway, and that's why they took this pathway? I don't know. Is it the providence of God that they happened to pass this oasis? Is it the providence of God that they happened to pass this oasis at this exact moment, whenever the eunuch was ready to see the water and ready to receive the gospel and be baptized? Perhaps. But the point I want to make in this is that it's understanding and trusting that God will provide, because you know sometimes people say, well, baptism can't be necessary because, I mean, what if you die along the way to get to water or something like that? Where are you going to get the water? You know, people make arguments like that. And I love this account here because where were they? They were in a desert. And what did God do? God provided the water.
Amen.
God provides the means and the method, my friends. Realize and understand that who's really in control of this universe? Who's really in control of our situations? It's God. Have faith in God. If you're trying to do what's right, and if you're trying to seek God out, then God is going to help you find the means. He's going to help you find the way. My friend, there's no doubt about that. That's what David understood. And I believe that's what the eunuch understood too. The eunuch was trying to seek more about God, and so what did he do? He went to the source that he had, which was the scriptures right then and there. It happened to be Isaiah. And so he turned to Isaiah and he read. He didn't understand everything, but little did he know that God was going to find him the answer. And that answer came in the form, not just of the scriptures there, but a teacher who could help him understand. Philip. God sent him a Philip. Where do you find the answers to your questions and such? I encourage you to do what the eunuch did. Read the scriptures. Are you going to understand what all that you read? No. But in that, God may provide you the answer that you need. I don't know how he's going to show you the way through the specific scriptures that you're reading. I know that I've been shown answers to problems that I had in areas that I never would have thought of, scripture that I never would have thought I would have found the answer, but I did. Maybe it led me down a rabbit trail to help me find an answer to a question that I asked a long time ago. Or maybe God's going to send a Philip along your way. Hey, what you reading there? You understand what you're reading? And maybe that Philip will be able to help you understand and explain. Or maybe that Philip will be someone that will be asking you because they want you to explain it to them. I don't know. But I do know that God says, Jesus Christ says, if we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open unto us. I know that David looked at the hills and he asked, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. If we go to God, he will answer us and he will give us what we need in his time, in his way. The eunuch got his answer to his seeking and his searching, and it was in the form of Isaiah and Philip. And of course, when we get to the climax of the story here, we see that then the eunuch commands the driver of the chariot to stop. And so they get out, and as Luke records for us so wonderfully, so beautifully, so irrefutably, they both, it says, go down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, lest we not understand. He says, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, we see then the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw no more, because he had done what he needed to do. He set the eunuch on the path now. He answered his question in Isaiah. Jesus is the key. And it unlocked Isaiah for him and the rest of the scriptures, no doubt, but it unlocked the key to his life too. Philip went on his way to go on and preach. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because his sins have been forgiven. That's part of the key. His sins were forgiven. He had a relationship with God, and God had answered his questions. You're going to leave here this morning going on your way rejoicing? And most of us here have been baptized many years ago, but you know, that's not the only time that we leave rejoicing. Your sins were forgiven today. You know, we partook of the Lord's Supper here just a moment ago. And as our brother prayed, and we prayed with him, that we reflected on this sacrifice that Christ made for our sins. And we reflected upon, I've committed sin. But Christ did this so that I could have forgiveness of sins. And as our brother brought out at the beginning of the Lord's Supper, that I'm not going to take this lightly because I know what this really means. And so you partook of the Lord's Supper this morning. Your sins are forgiven, my friend. Do you not know that? Shall we not all go on our way rejoicing? What a wondrous fact that is. I mean, just that simple fact. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
That's enough to help us rejoice. Philip then, that's right, boy. Philip then goes on his way rejoicing. The eunuch goes on his way rejoicing, and Philip goes on his way preaching. Rejoicing too, I'm sure. This is a side point right here. I think that this is a great account too, because we see that, don't know how, the Spirit of the Lord, though, caught Philip up and took him somewhere, almost like transported him here, beam me up, Scotty, or something like that business, right? Sometimes people want to ask questions about, well, how did the preaching get here in the Americas and things like that? Was it possible? Things like that. You know, that's all the whole basis of the Book of Mormon is trying to answer that question. Well, I don't know, but maybe this is how. Maybe Philip or Peter, one of those guys, got taken by the Spirit and brought over here at some point. I don't know. The point is, though, that God lets us know that there's a lot to this that we don't know, and that there's at least a means and a method. And we don't have to worry about all the details. God's going to take care of it. But my friend, we may not have whisking away of the Holy Spirit anymore today. We may not have inspired teachers coming our way like Philip. But we still have the inspired Word of God. Isn't it amazing? You can still go back and read those very same passages that the eunuch did. And you can have the very same questions answered. Isn't it amazing that we can still have the gospel preached to us, that same message, and the power is the same still, the forgiveness of sins, and that we can go on our way rejoicing as well. You see, that part of it hasn't changed. God is great and God is good. You know what else hasn't changed? Is that God hears, God listens, God knows. And that the promise that if you seek after God, he says, you will find me, that's still true. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you, that's still true. And so, my friends, if you're knocking this morning, if you're looking this morning, God's ready to answer you. And where will your answer be found? I can't tell you that for sure. Only that it's in God somehow, in some way. This morning, it may be that you need to confess some faults that you've had. You've been struggling, and it's time for you to ask for help from the brethren here to pray with you and for you because you feel you can't do it on your own anymore. Maybe your answer is, the answer to your questions is that you yourself, like the eunuch, need to be baptized for remission of your sins. And you want to do that this morning. Whatever it is, my friend, though, accept what God's answer is. If you feel you haven't received the answer yet, continue to seek him out, and he will answer you in his time. And it will be for your good. But my friend, if Jesus is standing at your door this morning, don't make him wait too long, because if you do, you may go to open the door and he may not be there anymore one day. Open it today while he's waiting for you. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?